And welcome, everybody, to this Friday edition of Today's Issues. Tim here with Mickey. And, Mickey, we are going to talk about fathering on the program today.
Yes.
With Ken Canfield, Dr. Ken R. Canfield, founder of the National Center for Fathering. Mm-hmm. I've known Ken, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I've known him for several years. He used to have a radio feature here on American Family Radio where he would give just, I think, a couple minutes of every day of a nugget.
Okay.
To help dads be better fathers.
Okay.
And it was wonderful. I mean, it was little, you know, things that practical everyday things.
Did you implement any of those nuggets, Tim?
I did. I would listen and I would try to implement those nuggets of truth about fathering. And most of them were biblical principles or practical everyday things you could do to enhance your fathering skills. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And I'm Tim Wildman with Mickey Addison. We appreciate you listening. And Marvin Sanders should be back with us
Monday
in full force on Monday. So Marvin will be back then. We look forward to him being back in the saddle. Our guest for the remainder of the program is Dr. Ken R. Canfield. He's the founder of the National Center for Fathering. And he joins us now. I think Ken's executive director of the Boone Center for the Family at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. That's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. Ken, are you with us?
I am, Tim. How are you doing?
Long time no talk.
It is. I got to check in with you, see how that fathering is going down in Mississippi, and it's a delight to meet Mickey, too. I've heard great things.
Well, thank you, Ken. Nice to meet you, too.
Since last I spoke to you, my fathering's about gone. It's about... They're about flown away. I've got two in college and one in ninth grade.
Well, what happens, Tim, is those kids will grow up and meet other kids, and they'll make more kids.
That's how, kind of how it works, isn't it?
It does. And I was like you. We have five, as you know, Tim, and I was delighted. They're all off the payroll until we started having grandkids. And then my wife puts them back on the payroll. I said, what's up with this?
Oh, that's funny.
That is funny. I didn't know that's what it was called, payroll. Yeah, I need to call my folks.
Call the payroll, that's right. Well, when you got bring those grandbabies around, then the grandparents start, you know, softening up again.
Absolutely.
That's what happened. You can manipulate them.
Yeah, they don't even want to see you when you have kids. They don't want to see you. They want to see the kids.
They want to see the grandkids. That's right. That's right. Ken, I know you did many years of work with the National Center for Fathering. You even started it. We ran your short radio feature for many years here on American Family Radio, 4:30 in the afternoon. You could count on Ken Canfield's show, Central Time, that was. Tell us, before we get into this topic, I want you to tell our listeners how God laid this subject on your heart to get into this area of work.
Glad to, Tim. You look at America and you say, what can you do to bring change and hope to the next generation? I think the wisest thing, even when I started the National Center 20 years ago, was focus on strengthening dads and put the message of responsible fathering out there. When I did that, Tim, first in the academic community and then as a partner with AFR, a great partner AFR was to this whole fatherhood piece, men started to listen. You mean, I got a role? It's just not my wife? You bet you do, Dad. And men started to come into their own, I would say, in a new way. We saw the ramp up of the Promise Keepers movement and that awakening. Well, today I'm even more convinced, Tim, and that's why I think being a savvy dad is critical to the future of this nation. And so I'm back, albeit in a different role, in California to champion that, and we'll do that today.
And you've got some conferences coming up around the country, true?
Correct.
Called the Savvy Dad Conferences. So we'll let Ken tell us about that as well when we return from this short break. Dr. Ken Canfield is with us. I'm Tim Wildman with Mickey Addison.
Now back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman with Miki Addison. Our guest from, are you in Southern California?
I'm on the road right now, but yes, I'm living in Southern California.
Get off the road, Ken. We don't want you to get hurt if you're on the road. Where's that symbol when we need it, right?
Right.
I remember writing a headline one time when I was speaking of sports. I was a sports editor for my college newspaper when I was at Mississippi State, and I wrote a headline one time. Why am I always patting myself on the back? I don't know. I don't know why I'm getting old like this and having to pat myself on the back. But I wrote a headline called it said "Dogs Hit Road, Road Hits Back" because they had lost a game while on the road.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, I thought so.
That's very clever.
I'm sure I was the first person to ever think of that. But Dr. Ken Canfield is with us on the road. He's founder of the National Center for Fathering and executive director of the Boone Center for Family for the Family at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. Worst places to live, I guess, aren't there?
I'm suffering here from Kansas City now to California, and if you've been there, you know the difference.
Oh, I remember going to your office in Kansas City in the middle of the winter.
Wow.
And it was brutal. I remember that it was January, I think, and it was a cold Kansas winter. Back to the topic at hand here. Tell our listeners about this conference series you've got coming around the country and where they can find information about it, and then let's jump back into the very topic that you're here to discuss.
Glad to. This is for dads and friends of dads. Getting men in a place where they can hear from other men the tactics, the strategies, and the tips for being a savvy dad will make all the difference. I've teamed up with SavvyDads.net, and we're going to be doing a series of conferences similar to the men's conferences of the past couple of decades at selected locations around the country. And in AFR tradition, who moves forward and delivers programming that encourages you in your home, your work, or in your travel, we're going to do these events at no charge. That's right. We really believe that this is going to change the culture. You can find out about this by going to SavvyDads.net, or you can call this number, 800-234-DADS. That's 800-234-DADS. And so, Tim, we got to raise the banner of responsible fatherhood, because this generation of children and grandchildren, which I have three and one in the launching pad, need responsible dads and granddads.
What's the website for that conference series? Do you know?
Yeah, SavvyDads.net, SavvyDads.net.
I'm curious, what's the definition of a savvy dad? Like, what do you guys define as a savvy dad?
That's a good question, Miki. First of all, it's based, and you'll read the book that I've written for this, it's They Call Me Dad, really truths that come from the scripture. Mm. A dad who's a savvy dad teaches his kids how to outthink the world. Mm. You know, your kids, if you're a dad or a mom, have the potential to have the mind of Christ. At least that's what the New Testament says. How are we teaching them discernment? How are we helping them and lift them up? Savvy dads know how to. The second thing is a savvy dad's a model, the life of a father who's transcendent, the Heavenly Father. So they're going to teach their kids how to outlive the world. The power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and setting an example will give us a distinct difference. And then because we have the love of Jesus and the love of the Father, we can outlove this world. So a savvy dad teaches and leads his kids how to outthink, how to outlive, and how to outlove this world.
Hey, Ken, where are we today in terms of fatherlessness in our country? We all hear the statistics from time to time. Where are we with that?
It's best of times, worst of times, and it's getting even more difficult. In the inner city of L.A., you look and you can draw a circle around the fatherless areas. Crime is up. Kids dropping out of schools, off the charts, delinquency. I'm working with a group right now, Tim, that this coming Father's Day, we're going to take kids out of the inner city hop on a bus. Now we're doing it in the wise way with therapists and help who haven't seen their dads because their dads are incarcerated. Mm. The dads are in prison, and finally they got it. Oh, my gosh, I've got kids. I don't want them to end up where I am. And so we've created a communication between the two. And this is the first of what I hope to be many opportunities to bring this connection about. It's profound to see the impact of kids whose dads are serving life sentences still wondering, you know, what's my dad like? What does he think about? Does he pray for me and so forth? And vice versa, you know, dad wants to say to the kid, live a responsible life. Tell the truth. Play by the rules. Because I didn't, I'm here. And son or sweetheart, you must, and you'll be in a better place. So those are the worst of times, and you see it in too large a measure. So we've got to kind of change the dialogue, Tim.
How do you... I'm just curious, how do you do that? You schedule, I mean, how do you find out who the children are of these inmates and arrange all that? How do you do that?
Well, the inmates submitted a list to us, and they said, we've been here. We'd like to make communication, if possible, some contact. Now, the state of California, God bless them, they do some things that are crazy and some things that are right. They're providing buses because they figured out, you know, this is good to build that father-child connection. So it came from an invitation to the dad. Then the kid has to respond, yeah, I want to come or I don't. And it's a complex family where, you know, there may be a mother with children of four or five different fathers. And you see just the downside of irresponsible or broken fatherhood. This is the real... eye-opener. The guys in prison, about 40% of them either had their dad, their grandfather, a brother, or an uncle also serving time. Wow. So you see this recidivism has its roots, I think, in fatherlessness or in the modeling that wasn't there. So how are we going to break that? And this, Miki, is where we get into this savvy dad. Mm-hmm. We need to hear the voice of another father, a heavenly one that has power to forgive and change lives and also lead a new course. And that's why the Savvy Dad conferences we're going to be doing is going to bring that to the forefront.
It seems like in everything that you see and that you hear, there is no substitute for the role of the father. Is that right?
Absolutely. There are great stand-in examples, and I want to applaud everybody who's listening, stepdads. Mm-hmm. I want to applaud teachers, coaches, extended family members, even moms who are trying to do the best, let's say, if their husband or the father of their children is incarcerated. But when it gets down to it, it's that touch, it's that blessing, it's that confident look, it's the rubbing of the head and saying, I love you, son. I love you, sweetheart. There's nothing that really replaces that, I have found, except the power and the love of a heavenly father that embraces a child who is fatherless.
You know, and I guess what I was thinking when I asked that question was the male presence. It, you know, because I know that there are children who are adopted and are loved by foster parents, and there's a man there, but I'm thinking in that moment, and you covered it well, that presence of a male there to put their hand on your back and say, you know what, I'm praying for you, I love you, I care about you. There's no substitute
Absolutely.
For that. Yeah.
Yeah. Recent research shows this, and this is particularly directed to daughters. Daughters who have a closeness with their father actually menstruate later and are less likely to experience sexual debut, their first sexual experience later. And wow. This is what they found. There's something about the closeness, and this is why little girls like to dress up in dad's clothes. If you as a woman could describe your dad's scent, in other words, you were close enough, and it may be Old Spice, aftershave, it could be any number of things, but it exhibits that closeness factor. And when a daughter has a close relationship with her father, it's like an aura of protection. She actually starts her period later.
Wow.
She actually will experience sexual debut of her, first sexual experience, hopefully after marriage, but they're less likely to bear children out of wedlock and so forth and so on. So, Mickey, what you're saying is so true, that fatherhood presence, Dad, is it's irreplaceable and it's powerful.
Wow.
Dr. Ken Canfield is our guest this hour. We encourage you to check out his website, www.savvydads.net. That's SavvyDads.net. That is right, isn't it, Ken?
You got it, Tim.
Because I thought savvy was one V, and I typed it in wrong and got nothing on Google. So I see that it's two V's. That was my problem. My dad never helped me with spelling as a child, and I suffer even today for that.
Hey, Tim, why don't we take some calls?
Yeah, we can do that. Our phone number is 1-800-844-8893. That's our phone number here on Today's Issues. If you have questions or comments about something that Dr. Ken Canfield has shared already this morning, it's 1-800-844-8893. To call us here on the program, we welcome your calls again, 1-800-844-8893. Ken, do you know some of the towns that the conference series is coming to?
Yes, across the Midwest, I think they're close to Kansas City, Wisconsin, Texas, California. It's in the forming stage, too. In fact, Tim,
yes,
this is the inaugural program.
Okay.
That we're really announcing it. So you're helping us, as you have in the past, get this word out. And I recognize some of you, your listeners, may not have access to the web. You can call 1-800-234-DADS, 1-800-234-DADS, and get some more information about how to sponsor one or be a part of one.
Okay, wonderful. And was that the only website you wanted to mention? And you have a new book out too, right?
Yes, it's They Call Me Dad. They Call Me Dad, where I go into detail about how to help your kids outlove, outthink, and outlive this world.
And it's in bookstores everywhere?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. I don't know. I don't have access to who the callers are, Mickey, so
okay,
you're going to have to do that.
Well, let's talk to Roger, who's listening in Burlington, Iowa. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, hi, guys. I do have a question for your guest today.
Okay.
You know, the relationships you're talking about with your daughters and your sons, rubbing their heads and stuff.
Yes.
Us older dads had that when they were younger. We'd like to know, how do we keep that going when they get into their late teens or mid-teens?
The touch, you mean?
The relationship in general.
Oh, the relationship in general. With okay. Okay, did you get the question, Ken?
You bet. That's
okay.
A great question. Thank you for it.
Yeah, thanks for calling. We'll let you listen on the radio, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Well, there are a couple of things, and what you want to do is take the things that you experienced when they were toddlers and young and then translate those as they mature through the life cycle. One of the best ways is listening, making sure that you have eye contact and you're listening and tracking with your child. We get so many messages here in America and, you know, so many images. When you look at them and gaze at their eyes and really project, you know, this sense that your opinions are important, you're valued, I'm anxious to debate this with you, what you're doing is giving them a boost of confidence. Secondly, that hug is so important as your daughter or your son matures. Just making sure a warmth of your body, a bear hug, is available at appropriate times is awesome. The other thing is the power of touch. When we touch each other, actually the hemoglobin in our blood system rises. They found this doing research on patients that were recovering in hospitals. So what you're doing is really imparting life, touching in a healthy way. So I understand the rub on the head is somewhat child-like, but as they mature, making sure that touch, that side-by-side, shoulder-to-shoulder still continues.
Yeah, go beyond the handshake, huh?
You got it.
Okay. Who's up next, Mickey?
Let's talk to Mark, who's on his cell phone in Arkansas. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. Yes, my question was, I'm a truck driver, and I have an 8-year-old daughter. Her mother and I are divorced, and I see her about once a month, and I talk to her, try to talk to her every day on the phone. But do you have any other suggestions how I can keep that closeness? I mean, we're pretty close anyway, but it's still not the same as being there every day.
That's a very good question. Ken, do you need to ask Mark something, or can we let him listen on the radio?
No, let him listen, okay. And this is what I'd say.
All right, Mark, hold on a second, Ken. Mark, thanks for calling, my friend. We appreciate hearing from you, and we will let you listen on the radio. Now, go ahead, Ken.
Mark's a dad that has a heart, and he knows he's got a role to play. And, in fact, at the Savvy Dads Conference, we have a special session for dads who are divorced or not in the home with their child. This is what you do. Make sure that she sees regular written responses or notes from you. It may be a card, Mark. It may be an email. You've got to, when she gets of age, learn how to text message. This text messaging is powerful. It gives words to her that you can beam at any time, and kids are savvy technologically. Lastly, make sure that you have pictures, and if you can get a picture phone, take pictures of your travels. You're a guy that is helping make America strong, getting goods or getting services at the right place. Having a picture from you as you're on the road, a little picture you can send on a phone is a great way to stay in touch. Those are some of the ways. And the times that you do have with her, savor them and make sure that you're collecting those memories to inspire you and also to reference as she grows up during these teenage years.
Yeah, what a great idea about sending the pictures while you're on the road, because that says I'm thinking about you
Absolutely.
While I'm out here on the road.
I like that.
You know, and the other thing what you said was the emails and the text messaging too, although for some of us we're text messaging retards.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you just
have an iPhone.
Well, I'm improving there, but you know, when three words take you 10 minutes, you probably need to just move on to something else. But the other thing here I wanted to say is there's still something to be said, don't you think, Ken, for the handwritten note? It's kind of like the touch, really.
Yep.
I never will forget, I read several chapters, or not chapters necessarily, but read Ronald Reagan's letters. There's a book out that's got all his letters. He was a big fan. This is back before emails and, you know, text messaging, I understand that, but he was a big fan of writing people personal notes and personal letters, and that is a lost art form in our country. So, but that does that takes it to a level of, hey, he took the time to personally handwrite me something. Don't you think that's important too, Ken?
And a story to illustrate that, Tim, and I agree wholeheartedly, is I was counseling this girl. She was 19, and she was going through some tough times. She was over at the house. Dee and I, that's my wife, were talking to her. And I said, has your dad ever written you anything, Amy? And she said, yeah. And I said, why don't you go and read if you've got something that he has written to you? And she said, you know, I do. And I asked her this, where do you keep it? She said, in my Bible.
Yeah.
And that's how powerful, Dad, your word is. It doesn't mean you have to write, you know, this six-page letter, but three or four paragraphs about what your child, your son, your daughter means to you. And just in your cryptic script, those are anointed words and powerful.
That's awesome.
All right. Wonderful advice there from our guest, Dr. Ken Canfield. And let's see, who has been holding the longest, okay?
Let's talk to Travis, who's holding in Conroe, Texas. Hi, Travis.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
It is such a pleasure to be on your show. You guys just blessed me thoroughly.
Thank you.
My question would be, okay, we adopted my son at the age of, well, zero. He left the hospital with us with him in our hands. And he's five now. And we moved from California 3 years ago. But through the course of this, I feel really led hard to let him know that he was adopted. But we were thinking of him before he was even born, and we had everything lined up and worked out by the time he was born, so when he left with us. Now, the question is, my wife doesn't feel real positive as to letting him know at the age of five that he was adopted, and yet I feel really led to let him know earlier than later. So what would be your answer on that?
Well, ethnically, are you of the same race?
Excuse me?
Ethnically, are you of the same race where he would notice that, you know, he was obviously adopted? Are you ethnically?
Oh, no. Everything about him, his features, everything, he totally looks like us. That's just a miracle from God.
Okay.
Everything about him is us.
Okay. Well, good. The reason I ask that is because it would become very obvious at that time, although some kids of races, this is powerful, ethnicities, backgrounds, they can grow up in a home and they are loved and nurtured so well, they don't even think they're adopted, but you look at their skin and it's a different color. But for you, I would say this, and this is important for adoptive families, you've got to be in sync with this. I would just wrestle prayerfully with your wife's concern. And when you guys are together on this, I think you should move forward. You voice your concern that we need to do this. And I agree, it does need to be done in a way appropriately as your son grows up. But doing it in sync is critical. And that you do it together because you want to be a united front. Adoptive children face some challenges that are unique. And if you're there together as you were at the hospital and you're there together as you share this news, it's going to be much more powerful and a profound and healthy experience.
Travis, that advice help you?
Excuse me?
That advice help you there?
Yeah. The one other question I would have as to, see, I've been feeling that the Lord has been directing me with the way the AFR has changed their format, and one of your top show hosts, he's always talking about going to the abortion clinics.
Matt Friedman.
I don't want to rush
morning,
anything because I could always use the testimony as to, because the lady was going to abort this baby until she met us.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
That is a testimony. That is a testimony, Travis. You're right. You're right.
That's a very touchy situation because if I was to show people that this little boy was going to be a no little boy, but yet I don't want to go out of the parameters of what my wife thinks about if she's not comfortable with that.
Absolutely.
But I just feel that the Lord is directing me that way, and it's a touchy situation.
Can I just make one quick comment, Travis, concerning this? In a marriage relationship, when you feel like the Lord is leading you one way and maybe your spouse feels differently, in prayer, a lot of times the Lord will change that person's heart if it is truly his will. And I don't think that God would want you to be out of sync because the two are one flesh. So I would say continue to pray. There have been times that I didn't agree with Will, my husband, but he's praying. I don't even know he's praying. And then the Lord begins to change my heart. And then we move forward there and God will honor that unity.
Thank you, Travis. Appreciate it. Well, the Lord told me through my wife when we first got married that go with her. And I've just listened to the Lord through my wife since that time. And we've had a very loving relationship.
And now you're happily married,
now
right?
We're happily married. We all know what our place is in life. All right. We have...
maybe one more quick call, you think?
Yeah, maybe so here.
Willie is in Jackson, Tennessee. Good morning, Willie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good, Willie. Go right ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I was listening to two things, your previous caller, the about the sports.
Yes.
And also the parenting.
Yes.
I kind of crossed both areas because I coached and I've been working with kids for quite a while. And the real amazing thing when you walk in with kids, because I've been doing it for quite a while, when you walk in with these guys, and a lot of them come from... families without a father, and they all of a sudden they come. It's almost like you're a magnet to them. They come at you, and you really have to be in the Word to understand, because you got to let. When you speak to these kids, you have to be in the Word, because when you start talking, you have to say what they really need to hear. Yeah. And when it comes down to the parenting skills or things, what's happening really, I keep hearing them talk about money in the schools. We need more money in education. But really what we need in education, more so than the money, is parenting skills. Father needs to be there. But see, what's killing this system is a lot of these kids come out of homes where they're not, they don't have any rules.
Absolutely. And hey, so Willie, I apologize for interrupting you.
And the teacher can't override all that.
Yeah, but the music's playing. The program's going to end whether we like it or not.
Sorry, Willie.
But what a great way to end the program. Some great words of advice and encouragement, Willie, especially from you. You've been in it, and you know what's going on. Thank you, Willie, from Jackson, Tennessee. Boy, coaches really serve as surrogate fathers to a lot of young people today, and it's a calling. And thank you, Ken. We appreciate it.
You got it, Tim.
Okay, second hour of today's issues coming up in a few minutes with J.J. Jasper and yours truly.
You've been listening to Today's Issues. For a copy of today's broadcast, call 1-888-FAMILIES. Join us again next time for Today's Issues.
AFR Talk, a division of the American Family Association.